just want to open up in a word of prayer.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for your many thoughts of us, that you would sacrifice your only begotten Son to die for us. We thank you for that gift, Lord God, and we just thank you for this time now where you have selected me to speak of your word, Lord God. And I just pray that the word can go forth and that people will receive your word and not me. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is always a pleasure to share the word of God. It is nice that someone may think of you to be a messenger of God. I grew up in this assembly, and just to be able to be one of those people that I saw when I was a little kid standing on the platform, it's always a pleasure. I thank you for all the support that I received from my family, both my parents, in-laws, and my biological, my wife, my kids, my Young People's Committee team, my JJRR group. If I ever receive an award, it will sound something similar to this. But I'm very excited right now. The first few minutes are usually just to get all the jitters out, so just bear with me. The title of my message this morning is Bumps in the Road. Now, it's going to start off rocky, no pun intended, but just bear with me. People can be very annoying. We have babies constantly crying, kids always whining, teens grumbling, and adults complaining. The Bible expresses human emotion, behavior, relationships in detail. And when we read it, we see not much has changed from then till now. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. We have the Word of God, where we're going to dive into and see what I'm talking about. So we're going to start off with Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read three verses there, starting from verse 23. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Version. And it reads, "After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned because of their difficult labor and cried out, and their cry for help ascended to God because of their difficult labor. So God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the Israelites, and he took notice." Now, the Israelites here were definitely overworked. They were slaves. So they groaned and they complained, but God heard them and he took notice. Now, the word groan is both a noun and a verb, so it's something that can be and something that you can do. And it basically is a long, deep sound of pain and despair. And they're experiencing this heavy labor, they're doing this thing, they're working all day, it's long, hard hours, and it's really not good conditions. So there's no doubt that it's justifiably uncomfortable for anyone. But instead of rallying together and figuring out a way to make things better, they're groaning. And we all know people like this. Whether it be a coworker, a family member, an ex, a friend, we know someone like this, a person or a persons. And if you don't know anyone like this, it may be you. But it's okay, because the Lord has his word, and he's going to help us to get through this. So we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to read a few verses there. And here we have the Israelites moving from Egypt on their way to the Promised Land, a place that was promised to have land flowing with milk and honey. So it's a beautiful place. So they have to go from one place to another. So they have where they came from and their destination. And in between is their path. So in verse 22, I'm going to read the verses there. It says, "Then Moses led Israel on from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. They journeyed for 3 days in the wilderness without finding water. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the water at Marah because it was bitter. That is why they named it Marah. The people grumbled to Moses, 'What are we going to drink?' So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he threw it into the water became drinkable. He made a statute and ordinance for them at Marah and tested them there. He said, 'If you carefully obey the Lord your God, do what is right in his eyes, pay attention to his commands, and keep all his statutes, I will not inflict any illness on you that I inflicted on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.' Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there by the waters." So what's this bump in the road they have? They were thirsty. Now, thirst is nothing to joke about. It is a serious condition where it's not just, oh, I need something to drink. This is thirst. They were traveling days without drinkable water. And in verse 24, it says they grumbled. And a grumble is a complaint in a bad temper way. So it's not just under their breath. This is audible. This is nasty. This is not so that you are just expressing yourself. This is so people hear and they know that you are upset. They grumble. "We need something to drink, Moses. We're thirsty, Moses." It wasn't pleasant. And when you're trying to do a task and you have people grumbling, it can be very uncomfortable or annoying to that person, to you, to whoever is leading. So what did Moses do? He didn't grumble back at them. He went with to the Lord. It said in verse 25, so he cried out to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He showed him what to do. And they were able to get drinking water. And then not only that, they were able to be led to 12 springs of water, 70 date palms. So not only did God handle their issue, he did them 10 times better. He gave them 12 springs of water. So if you didn't like the taste of this water, you can try this water. If you didn't like the temperature of this water, you can try this water. They had options. Isn't God good? But it didn't come with just here. He said that there were some things that he wanted to do. He wanted to test the people. Now, I want to say this, because decades ago I learned in Sunday school that the Israelites represent the children of God. That's us. So when we read the Israelites did this and the Israelites did that, it's us. So this is what we did. So I'm looking at this as like, okay, this is what I did. All right, I get it. So, can we learn from it? What did he say for us to do? Verse 26. Verse 26. He said, "I will, if you carefully obey the Lord your God, 2, do what is right in his eyes, 3, pay attention to his commands, and keep all of his statutes," he said, "I will not afflict any illness on you. I will heal you." So he's testing them. He's saying, you know, I'm going to give you this, but going forward, I want you to do these things and see if you can do them. All right? So he said it. He gave them the water and the date palms. They didn't even ask for date palms, but, you know, that's the goodness of God. So we're going to move on to another bump in the road. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. It says, now, the entire Israelite community departed for Elam and came to the wilderness of Sin, which was between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had left the land of Egypt, the entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat and ate all the bread we wanted. Instead, you brought us out to the wilderness to make this whole assembly die of hunger. We are at it again. Not only was it a few people grumbling, it says the entire Israelite community. Can you imagine being Moses in this situation? Leading them to this promised land, you know it's going to be amazing. And all they're doing is complaining, wishing that they died in Egypt, which they grumbled about being, they groaned about, oh, it's so hard over here. It is so difficult. Oh, what are we going to do? And then God said, okay, I'll take you to this beautiful land over here. And they said, all right, let's do it. They marched. They saw all these amazing things. And now they're saying they wish that they died there? Come on, people. What are we doing? Verse 9. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. So what did Moses do again? Did he take on the task himself? No, he went to hear. He wanted the people to hear from God. He wanted them to go to God because God heard their complaints. Because in the first passage that I read, he heard them, he took notice. So even though they're not speaking to God directly, God is listening. He's paying attention to his people. And in this case, it's the Israelites, but also it's us. So if we have an issue, if we have a conflict, if we're on a bump in the road, who should we go to? We should go to God. Why? Because he's the one who provides. When you're at work and that coworker is complaining, oh, I can't believe our manager is making us do this and do that. Why are they telling you? You can't do anything about that. That's your manager too. Maybe if you go to your manager, maybe something can be done about it. But I digress. Let's go back. Exodus chapter 17. And for the time being, this is going to be the last bump in the road that I'll discuss today. But this is an amazing journey that I think that if you haven't read and read the details of it, it would be a nice study, because a lot of amazing things happen in this book. It's one of my favorite books. But chapter 17, it says, the entire Israelite community left the wilderness of Sin, moving from one place to the next according to the Lord's command. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So the people complained to Moses, give us water to drink. And then it says, why are you complaining to me? Moses replied to them. Why are you testing the Lord? And then in verse 3, it says, but the people thirsted there for water and grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you ever bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock for thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? In a little while, they will stone me. So what's happening here? The Israelite community is grumbling again. We are grumbling again about a situation that God has already brought us through. We are faced with it again. He gave us the tools on what we should do if faced with the situation, but we did not comply. We did what we wanted to do, and that's grumble to Moses again. And it seems to just to be building. First it was a few, then it was the entire community, and it looks like they're sticking with that entire community and just complaining, just being annoying to Moses. And Moses has had it. He's had it. In verse 2 it says, "Why are you complaining to me? I haven't done anything. It was always the Lord. If you needed something to drink, he gave you water that was drinkable. If you needed something to eat, he gave you things to eat. Why are you complaining to me?" And above that, he says, "Why are you testing the Lord? He has proven to be the one that can provide your needs. So why not go to him? Why are you challenging his word by following his commandments?" What were the three? It was doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord, carefully obeying the Lord your God, and paying attention to his commands. Why are you not doing these things? Why are you testing the Lord? And the kicker for me is when he says, "What should I do with these people?" Right? Doesn't that sound like something that you would hear today? What am I going to do with these people? What indeed? What should be done? So I ask you this morning, when we're experiencing bumps in the road, are we grumbling amongst ourselves? When things are going our way, are we giving thanks to the Lord for providing those things to us? I want to take us to James chapter 1. And this has been one of the passages that has stuck with me for a very, very long time, because it's just amazing what's being said here. James chapter 1, verse 2 to about 7, it says, "Consider it great joy, my brethren, when you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work, so you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask who? God, who gives to all generously, without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like a surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Now, it's a powerful thing, because you think about being in a tough situation and saying to yourself, you know what, this is going to be good for me. And when I first read that, I was like, come on, that's impossible. Like, how can, if I'm going through a hard time, how can I be thinking to myself, this is good for me? But as I get older, I realize that actually makes the situation, that thought alone makes the situation better instantly. Instantly. And if you haven't experienced that, I would say, try it. When you're experiencing a difficult time, say, you know what? This is good for me. God is doing this for me for a reason. Because it says that with the testing of your faith, it produces endurance. You know what endurance is? The ability to continue going. It says, and endurance must have its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, the title of my message is Bumping the Road. It means that we're on a journey. We're all on our individual journeys, and we're on our collective journeys. We meet and we gather, whether here, on Zoom, over the phone, and we share with each other our struggles. We all hear, want and desire to know more about God, because we have our personal journey, our relationship with God. So we're all on this journey, and there's going to be bumps in the road. And some of the elders, not elders, older, more experienced believers, have experienced things that younger believers are going to experience or experiencing in that moment, and they may be able to drop gems that may help them in that journey, in that struggle, to make things just a little bit better. And I know that growing up in this assembly, there's definitely been, there's so many people that have helped me to decipher certain things that I'm going through, offer me advice. And advice is just that, something that is given, but it does you no good unless you actually accept it. So it's just, you have to accept what the Word of God is saying here, that you must count it joy when you're going through these difficult times. And right now, the whole world is going through a difficult time. And I think that's why I was led to present this message, because the whole world is experiencing this coronavirus that is killing people at a rate we haven't even seen. Last week alone, each day more people died from this virus than many other disasters that have hit us in this time alone. More people died on Tuesday than during 9/11. Isn't that crazy? When you see the numbers, you're just like, that can't be. 9/11 is something that we can never forget. We remember it every single year. Yet the coronavirus is here, and people are acting like it's nothing. People are still walking around unprotected. They're partying like it's insane to me. And because of that behavior, it is making this bump in the road last even longer. And it's causing people to die, and it's just such a sad situation. But people are going to do what they want to do rather than to follow someone who may have all the answers or does have all the answers. So right now, I'm saying, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today is, there's no other day like today. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, even if you're considering it, I would say you're on the right path. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Some people have issues with this because they're like, this is too easy. I must have to do something. The something that God says that you should do is confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Those two things, do them, and I guarantee that God will fulfill his promise. You will be saved. And then the next step is to carefully obey the Lord your God, do what is right in his eyes, and pay attention to his commands. And I guarantee those bumps in the road won't feel so bumpy. The last verse that I'm going to read is one that we all know. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to make the journey one that is challenging for us so that we can grow and mature and have endurance. But he also is doing it out of love, because he knows that once we get through that bump in the road, we'll be better off for it. He gave his Son for us so that we could have more life. Isn't God amazing? So, as I close, I will say this. We are all on a journey that has bumps in the road. Instead of grumbling with your neighbors, instead of grumbling with your coworkers, your spouse, your friends, give God a chance. Take it to him, because not only will he provide for you, he'll give you 10 times better. He'll give you 12 waters to drink from, and he'll throw in some date trees. Not literally, but maybe. So I thank you. I hope that I've encouraged this morning. I hope that everybody received a little something from the Word of God this morning. It was a pleasure. Times are hard, and, you know, making them harder by complaining, it doesn't do anybody any good. So we're here, we're doing the right thing, and I have to say, the church looks amazingly clean. The Zoom feed is a little, you know, dark and grainy, so you can't see, but when you're here, it's really beautiful, and it's well done. With that being said, I'm going to close by saying, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the sacrifice of your only begotten Son so that we may live. We just ask now that if anybody here listening on the phone or watching on Zoom does not know you, Lord, that they may come to know you today, right now, that the process of being saved is an easy one, Lord, but the journey is what's going to be long-lasting. That when they're faced with bumps in the road, Lord, that they would turn to you and no one else and allow you to express your love only the way you can. So we thank you now, Lord God. We ask that you can continue to keep us safe. We ask that us as a community can touch, not literally in this time, but we can touch those that don't know you so that we can get this situation under wraps, Lord God, and get back to a world that looks recognizable to us. So we thank you again, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray.